Father, indeed, thy word is precious to us. And as we read and see the history, see the accounts of men and women long past, and we see your heart and your love for them as well as us, we pray that you'd help us to take the admonitions, to be glad and joyful in thy servants' service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'd like if you would turn with me to Malachi chapter 2. We're going to read the first 8 verses. But I'll just start with the first 1.5, let's say, right now. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. So what we're going to read is about the priests that were in charge of keeping God's word and disseminating it amongst the brethren, amongst Israel. So here's the message. If ye will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. Maybe those first 2 verses. A little over a year ago, not 5 miles from my house, the delivery services, everybody's ordering online, and the trucks are running to and fro, all the different trucks. And very unfortunate event, apartment complex. The drive is, it's not a street, it's not a road, it's not a playground, it's a little of all sometimes, it seems. And unfortunately, one of these delivery trucks ran over a 2-year-old child. Sad. Young man, 18 years old, on his cell phone, delivering. So, plainly, he was at fault. But as they reviewed all the footage, as they looked at the different camera video that they had from either on the truck or wherever they had the video, it turns out that now the mother is being charged with negligence, because where was the mother with this 2-year-old? She was there, but she was not within sight, right? How many times have you told your child, we told our children, don't play in the street, don't play in the driveway, right? And we're not doing this because we want to punish them. We're not doing this because we want them to be deprived of such great pleasure of darting in and out between cars, right? That's not what we're doing. We're doing this to protect them. That's our goal. And as we read God's word, as we see now this message to the priests, it is because God loves them and he wants to protect them. If ye will not hear, this message, ye priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear and if you will not lay it to heart, they had a hearing problem and they had a heart problem. So I'm going to go back to Genesis and just give us a little review of the same thing that we had with Adam and Eve, right? God said, you can eat of every tree in the garden, just one. And it wasn't because he wanted to deprive them. No, he wanted to protect them. And of course, we know the story that Eve saw, and she saw that it was, Satan tempted Eve so that she thought it was good. Eve ate of the tree. She convinced Adam to eat of the tree. And in Genesis 2, it says, you can eat of any tree except for this one, and if you eat of this one, you will die. Very plain. Very straightforward. And indeed, that's exactly what happened. For us, a lot of times, our warnings go unheeded. Don't run out, don't go outside in bare feet. Don't, I don't know, play marbles on the freeway, right? That's my dad used to say that to me. Go and play marbles on the freeway. He would say, go and do it, right? But you get wise as a child that that's not a wise thing to do. But we count to 10. We count to 3. We count to 3.5, 3.6, 3.7. Everything, but we don't do what we say. But God doesn't work that way. When he says here that if you will not hear and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory to my name, I will send a curse upon you. Indeed, not only is he going to send a curse upon you, the blessings that you have now are already becoming a curse. And you think, well, how can that be? And just as an example, we might be blessed with food. But for the glutton, food becomes more than a blessing. You know, it becomes a challenge. It becomes something that is harmful to the body because they take too much. And it's damaging to the health, right? And so God says, because you will not hear, because you will not take it to heart, we'll talk a little bit about that, your blessings are becoming a curse. I want to go over to the book of Ezekiel. Some generations before, Ezekiel 13. And the word of the Lord came unto me, Ezekiel, saying, son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy and say, son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy and say, thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. So here are the prophets. This is a warning to the prophets that were there in Israel. And they were not saying what God wanted them to say. They were saying what they wanted to say. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. And he goes on in great detail to talk about what's going on. And there's trouble. So Malachi here, some 200 years later, some generations, I don't know if a generation is 40 years, some 5 generations later, there's still this problem. They've been talked to. They've been warned and warned. God is gracious, but God is just. And he wants to preserve the truth. He wants to preserve his holy word. And so he's going to take care of it. So they had a hearing problem. And I would like to turn to 1 John. There are many places in Scripture that talk about they will not listen. They will not hear. Their hearts are hard. But in 1 John, I think this is kind of a set of verses that really digs deep into what we're supposed to be doing about hearing and listening and applying it to our lives. So I'm going to start with verse 5 and then go back and pick up a few verses. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God protected. Perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to so walk, even as he walked. So let's see if I can find it again. Oh, I apologize. That's chapter 4. That's what I wanted. Here we go. Chapter 4, verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. So let's talk about that hearing. The hearing that the priests were not doing, right? John spells it out in the New Testament. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. When we hear, there's something more implied than, and this is why it goes with the heart together. In James 1:22, I believe it says, don't only be a hearer, but be a doer. We need to apply, and this is where the heart comes into application. Oh, we read in Bible class today how, you know, we need to read his word. And I forget if it was Brother Tim or Brother Gary. One of them was saying, you know, we can read all day long. Or I think it was Nick. But if you're reading it like a professor, you know, you're putting it in your mind all in these different ways, but it's not really getting to the heart. It's not really being applied in our life. This is a problem. And here in Malachi, we're reading, this is the problem. They have a hearing problem and they have a heart problem. So let's keep on with the hearing problem. We're going to go to 1 John 4, 1 through 6. We'll read the whole thing. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. So, in Ezekiel 13 that we read, this was the problem. They were talking about what their own heart wanted to do, right? And they were not giving the words that were coming from God. They were just saying what felt good to them. And we have that now, today. I don't know that it's ever not been that way. There are so many people that are preaching to itching ears. And whether it's because they're in it for the buck, you know, somehow they make their living by this. And if you read Ezekiel, it was talking about how they're making their bread and barley cream, or they're getting paid to do things the wrong way. So, 1 John 4, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. So this is where that word here comes in. And let's talk about that. We've mentioned it before that if you go out amongst your coworkers and your friends and people on the street, what are they talking about? Well, they're not talking about God and godly things. They're not talking about living holy and righteous lives. They're primarily not talking about feeding the orphans and doing good. They're talking about what they saw in the last show, what they saw in the last TV, what the politics of the day are. Anything that's of the world, that's what they're talking about. And it says that they are of the world, and therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Oh, everybody loves to get into those different conversations. However, there's a contrast. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. So there's this contrast, right? Are you listening? Are you hearing? Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. How do we discern what is true? We're talking about the false prophets, right? We have to try the spirits. How do we know what is true? Well, we compare it to the scripture. We talked about hiding God's word in our heart this morning. We talked about how God in so many ways has shown us, the longer we read, the longer we study, the longer we apply his word to our life, he has confirmed that his word is true. He has confirmed that if we live by this word, we are blessed. Even if things are going wrong, somehow we are blessed. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So they had a hearing problem. And going back to Malachi, they had a heart problem. Malachi chapter 2, so if you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, laying it to heart. So that word lay in the Hebrew, it's to ordain, to establish, to lay it down, to be found, to be fixed, to lay the foundation. So lay it in our heart. And then the glory of God, this is the honoring of God. And how do you glorify and honor God? But you do his will, you do his commandments, right? If you want to honor your parents, you're not going around doing everything that's the opposite of what your parents want. And it seems that in our society, going back to more is caught than taught. Well, when the parents are not interested in their children's well-being, if they're just letting them run around outside by themselves, right? The children learn that, I can do what I want. And really, and I've been there as a child, and I've been there as a parent, it almost seems that the children are doing exactly opposite. They're not honoring, and they're doing exactly opposite. They are doing their own will. And in general, if you're not controlled by the Spirit of God, you're doing what you think is your own will. Really, it's not. Really, you're doing what the commercials do, right? Be yourself. You know, be yourself. Do what I'm doing, right? It's kind of an oxymoron. You know, be yourself. You know, but look what I'm doing. You know, buy these shoes, buy these whatever. There's commercial gain to be had. That's what the commercial television is all about. That's why commercials are there, to convince you that this is what you want. And you think, oh, this is what I want. But the truth of the matter is, it's not what you want. You've now been programmed incorrectly. You've been programmed to be a consumer, right? As opposed to being, you know, what goes in, garbage out, as we read God's word. As we read God's word, it's changing. It can. If we hear his word and take it to heart, the two things in James, you hear and you do. We hear and we do. But because they would not take it to heart, back to Malachi, there was a curse pronounced. You know, warning always precedes divine judgment. When you think of a curse, oh, in the movies you see there's a voodoo curse. Or, you know, some witch doctor, you know, cursed the family, or somebody uttered a curse. And all of those curses have no power to back them up. But the only curse, the only one that can apply a curse, is the Lord God. If you are protected by God's word and you are God's child, there is no curse in the world that can affect you and change your blessings. But if God lets you know that you're going down the wrong path by some way or another, maybe by his word, maybe it's by the kind soul that takes you aside and talks to you, maybe it's just by a still small voice uttering in your heart, and you deny that, and you say, I'm going to do what I want to do anyway, there's a curse to be paid. And if we go back to Adam and Eve's curse, if you would, if you disobey, you will die. And exactly, that's what they got. Now, really, though, the curse extended further. Satan was cursed, and he went from something that had legs to something that didn't have legs, right? And you will crawl in the dirt on your belly. The earth was cursed, and it went from being plentiful and without thorns to having briars and thorns, and it's going to be work for the man to till it now. So the earth was cursed. And ultimately, we all were cursed, because before that initial sin, Adam could not sin. You know, there was a possibility. He didn't have to sin. But now all of humanity will sin and come short of his glory. Ultimately, that small not heeding of God's word. And I think this is the lesson for us, is that anytime we err, right? That word to sin is an archery term. We talk about it. It's to miss the mark. If I don't hit the bullseye, that's an error. Anytime we err, it's taking us further and further away. And our goal is to hear God's word. It's to apply it to our lives, and it's to do it. And going back to 1 John, when it talks about loving one another, what is that love? Right? A lot of times we feel that people are not loving to us. Actually, we become obsessed with it. Did you see what that person did to me? They might not even have a clue what's going on in your mind. But we build up anti-love, right? We build up hate. We build up gossip. We build up all sorts of trouble in our mind because of our pride and what we perceive as the wrongs done against us. People are not being very loving toward me. That's an easy frame of mind to take. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Malachi 2:3. Behold, I will corrupt your seed, talking about their children, and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. So more of the curse. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace. And I gave them to him for the fear with wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. So the tribe of Levi was the beginning of the priesthood. And God, he's not trying to punish, he's trying to protect. He's not trying to ruin, he's trying to restore. And here he's saying, you know, Levi, he knew my commandments. And it says, verse 6, the law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips, and he walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. So here's what he was trying to protect: his word, his instruction. And he's trying to correct us, to bring us over to that, because, you know, it's dangerous when we're playing in the drive. He doesn't want us there. It's dangerous when in our adult lives we're playing with the emotions of others, whether it's dating or flirting, whether in business we're playing with a little bit of deceit, a little white lie. Those are dangerous things. They're going to take us down the wrong road. And God is saying, you know, to the priest here, their forefather Levi, he was straight, he was true. And because of that, many did turn away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge. The knowledge that he had, you know, a lot of times when we think about keeping, oh, you know, I'm going to keep this in the freezer. I'm going to store this up in the freezer. And why do we keep it there? You know, one of our friends, her mother, is getting old and needed some help. So she went with her family. They're going to clean up the house, right? And they're going through the freezer. And in that freezer, perfectly frozen, are decades worth of food. Decades worth of food. You know, the knowledge, that food, why do we store food, right? It's not to just store it. It's to share it with others. It's to bless others. It's to pull it out at the right opportunity. And we have enough to enjoy each other's company. When we think about food, I'm reminded that after Christ's resurrection and as he appeared to many, he didn't appear anywhere without eating. There was always food involved. And I think Brother Gary mentioned, you know, we have the ministry of baking, right? Our fellowship is our best attended service, right? fellowship and lunch is their best attended service. So just like having a freezer full, stored up, this knowledge to be stored up, and it's to be shared. And that's what Levi was doing. And because of that, he did turn many away from iniquity. But in verse 8, God is saying to them, Malachi, the Lord through Malachi, saying, but ye are departed out of my way. You have caused many to stumble at the law, and I've corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord. They were doing the exact opposite. You know, I was reminded many years ago, we were at the Orange County swap meet. Bethany was young. I don't know, maybe she was 8 or so. She was riding a bike, and there was a mountain bike for $80. Wow, brand new. What a great thing. You know, what a good deal. Is this good? Yeah, it's a great mountain bike. So I take it home, I put it together. She's right, not a half hour later, not 10 minutes later, Daddy, the bike is broken. I can't pedal it. Oh, what's going on? I mean, it's brand new. And sure enough, where the pedals were, one of the pedals was bent underneath. I thought, how in the world? You can't bend. You know, she's little. How do you bend a pedal underneath? You know? And then I looked and, you know, normally the pedal, it's a forged crank, right? It's a strong steel crank. I look at it and, well, it's plastic. It's like, okay, well, and I grabbed it and I straightened it right out. Really, it was a piece of wire, about 360. It was a piece of wire encased in a big thing of plastic. It was false, right? I believed, I trusted that vendor. It looked so good. It looked so shiny. But really, there was nothing good about that bike. But ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble. Right? I couldn't be a vendor like that. I couldn't be a vendor knowing that my product was going to cause trouble down the road. Right? I'll never see him again. In our lives. Okay, so let's go back to, you know, this letter is specifically for the priests. But we have in 1 Peter 2:9 that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that should show forth the blessings of God. I think the rest of the quote goes, right? We're the priesthood now. And we can take these words that have been written long ago and apply them into our lives. And we need to make sure that the lives that we're living aren't causing people to stumble. And it's not our own doing, but it's God working through us. And in Bible class, there are so many examples of times where God worked through us. God worked through each and every one of you. And then you saw, a lot of times we don't see the outcome, but you were giving examples of, well, there was this outcome. And I was amazed. And I was blessed by the outcome. And I see that God is actively working. And so in our lives, as we have stored up this knowledge, as we fill our hearts and minds with the Word of God and live our lives accordingly, and listen to God's Holy Spirit, that still small voice leading us to talk to people, to encourage, edify, to uplift, that we do pass it on. That we do, that we're tools in the Master's hand. You know, a lot of times we justify our liberties. Oh, Eve said, I just ate the apple. It's not an apple. I just ate the fruit. Adam, why didn't you try? Oh, you know. He had the bigger burden. Eve was deceived. Adam willfully sinned. A lot of times I'm sure he justified it. It doesn't say how he justified it, but somehow he justified, he rationalized. It's like, yeah, I'm going to do this. And the domino that trips and knocks, it just, you don't see what's going to happen down the road. In our lives, as we consume what the world consumes, if we do, right? Either inadvertently or purposely, we justify it. That goes in, and it grows. And sometimes it comes out. Brother Dave mentioned sometimes when we're hangry, you're hungry and then you get angry, right? Sometimes when we have a void of God's word in our life, we don't realize that we're hungry. We don't realize there's a void, but it causes us to behave inappropriately because we don't have God's word hidden in our heart. Not only hidden there, but that treasure trove of the ability to come forth and work out through our heart to give good fruit. We're not there. Back to 1 John 4:6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. You know, going back to the heart, if you type in heart in your text, or you swipe in the word heart, or love, a little heart pops up, right? It's like that universal symbol. So when we're talking about the heart, we're really not talking about the muscle. We're talking about the love that goes along with that. God is love, that universal symbol. And then now taking it the step further, yes, we know when we don't feel loved, oh, it's very plain. We know we don't feel loved. You know, let's stop worrying about ourselves and let's start to think deeply about how we show love to one another. How I can show love to you, how you can show love to her or him, right? It's not an emotional thing, it's an action. These are actions that we do. And God did a specific action, right? For God so loved the world. He didn't have this emotional feeling, that warm, fuzzy feeling, that while we were yet sinners, oh, all these sinners, they hate me. No, he loved the world, and his action was he came to this world in the flesh. He manifested himself. He became flesh to be sacrificed to save us. He did this great action. It wasn't fun. He despised the shame. But he did it because he loved us. Let us have that same mind of Christ, that despite what other people are putting into us or displaying towards us, whether they love us or like us, or care about us, we love them, and we show the love of God to them. May God bless his word.